You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
You are now listening to the hottest true crime podcast in the streets.
Hello, 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 and welcome to another episode of Affirmative Murder, the Equal Opportunity True Crime Comedy Podcast. I am Alvin Williams, joined as always by my partner in true crime, Francel Evans.
Oh yes, wait a minute, Mr. Postman.
Yeah, man, I'm the mailman, can't you tell, man? Gonna post on.
What up? Let's let the people know, friend, that we are coming at them on a quick turnaround. I am currently waiting with bated breath to find out if I will be able to go on a trip for a good friend of the pod, our friend JJ, his wedding. It's a destination wedding in Jamaica, but the Omicron variant is going crazy. And so you need to have a negative test 3 days before you can leave the country to go to Jamaica. You need to be able to present a negative test within 3 days of your trip. My test was today, the day that we're recording this. My flight is tomorrow. So if my results come in tomorrow and I'm positive, which I am 99.9% sure that I am negative. But if the results are positive, I can't go. But that's not my concern. My concern is my flight's at noon and the test results are supposed to be within 24 hours. So that could be afternoon.
Yeah.
And if I don't have any results, I can't go. So we are recording this because I'm supposed to be on vacation, but it's possible that I never went on the vacation. This could end very bad. You know, this, you guys might already know, I might've like went on a rant on Twitter or something. It could have possibly happened, but none of this is in the future. This is foresight. Either I had a great time in Jamaica and saw my friend get married, I cried, it was beautiful, or I boarded my dog, I packed my bag, and I went to the airport waiting for an email that never came, and then I had to leave and didn't get to do any of the things, and I lost money on a flight and resort room and all that kind of stuff. But the show must go on, so we're recording in the past, right after we recorded last week's episode. We came back together and we're like, all right, let's record something for the people. So there's not really much current event stuff that has happened. What I will say is, friend, I've really been enjoying, there's been new Elmo content.
Yeah,
Elmo's been blowing up all over the internet for this. Have you seen Bronx Elmo?
No.
Oh, it's my favorite thing.
What do you go, Bing Bong or something like that?
No. Okay. Elmo was, or Sesame Street, I don't know if the whole gang was there, but they went on Jimmy Fallon's show.
Okay.
And they did a cooking segment.
All right.
And so I don't know if there's a new Elmo voice or something. I don't know. But so he's, you know, Jimmy's like, so what's in this? He's like, oh, Elmo loves to cook. Elmo, this is a very special recipe Elmo likes to make. It's he goes, it's onions, celery, broccoli, balsamic vinegar. But it was like, it sounded like it was crazy. Like the balsamic vinegar came out like Rosie Perez. So people have been doing on TikTok, it's them naming the stuff, and then they switch into like New York clothes, like them in like a bubble coat and a New York Yankees hat. So it's like celery, onions, this balsamic vinegar. It's like it's so funny. And now people have been pulling up all these different clips of when Elmo got gangster. So it was another time on Jimmy Fallon. I guess Elmo was supposed to sing a song, and Jimmy Fallon was like, oh, you don't know the words? You should have came to rehearsal. And then Elmo was like, you know what? Elmo doesn't like you anymore. It was like, they just had all these clips. He had some kind of incident with one of the other characters on the show, has a rock as a friend.
Hilarious.
Have you seen that?
Yeah, I've seen
it. He's like, why would it, how would a rock eat a cookie? Tell me.
He's going
off. Rocks don't eat cookies?
Right.
Why can't I eat the oatmeal raisin cookie? So I never thought I, as a grown man, I'd be enjoying Elmo I once did as a kid.
Yeah.
But I have been. It's been a great time. Also, another quick, I only have pop culture stuff to touch on because it's been so fast. Did you hear about Jason Derulo?
The fight?
Yeah.
He fucked
them up.
The clip I saw, I saw it right before the fight. I didn't see the fight.
I feel like what happened was they probably had already been agitating him. Here's what I feel like happened. there's this new thing that, not new, it's been happening for a long time, but like people, there's a video of a dude going up to Travis Scott and being like, ASAP Rocky. And then the dude's like, I'm not fucking ASAP Rocky. But the dude knew that Travis Scott wasn't ASAP Rocky. Mm-hmm. He just wanted to get under his skin. There was another dude who saw Rajon Rondo at a Foot Locker, and he was like, oh my God, my favorite point guard, Chris Paul. Oh, yeah, like they just like to do shit like that. Funny, it was funny. Some of them are funny.
Yeah, yeah.
I think this dude was calling him Usher, but I feel like
the same dude though, is it?
No, Jason Derulo is.
I'm talking about the guy that was doing the video. You talking about it's just like a whole.
No,
bunch
no,
of
it's a whole, I think it's just they were trying to do a trend.
Gotcha.
To be funny. Maybe maybe they weren't even filming it. Maybe he just thought it'd be funny, like him and his friend to be like, let's go call Jason Derulo Usher. That'd be funny. Another R&B black dude. That's funny, right? Because I can't see Jason Derulo is bipolar. If they just said Usher once and he went crazy, right? I mean, he blew through a security, fucked the one dude up. Here's the funny thing. So Jason Derulo is bodying the dude. And then another dude who was the guy's friend tried to come and fight Jason Derulo, but then he kind of bitched out because Jason Derulo's security got involved. So he stepped back and he was like puffing his chest out. He was like, don't hit my boy.
Yeah.
And Jason Derulo was like, what? And he got off the dude and just ran over to him and knocked him out.
Damn.
So he beat both of them up.
I didn't see the clip, man.
No, people think Jason Derulo is sweet because he says his name over and over again in songs. But he was like, listen, I'm a problem out here. Say what you want. The jokes are funny or whatever. But like, you'll never forget Jason Derulo's name because he said his name 1,000 times in 7 songs. So you'll never, it was brilliant. That's brilliant. That's like, I appreciate marketing like that. Also with the whole TikTok thing, he was on TikTok early.
Yeah.
He knew this was the thing that all the kids are on. He's on there eating s'mores and making crazy candy confection inventions and shit. I don't like his content, but he's been on there since the beginning. So he's a very brilliant marketer. And apparently he also has hands. So don't be surprised if Jason Derulo fights Jake Paul by the end of this year. Wouldn't be surprised.
You think so?
I wouldn't be surprised. I'm calling it now. I could see Jason Derulo fighting one of the Pauls summer 2022. I could see that happening. So I'm calling it now. We'll see what happens. But like I said, this is a quick turnaround. We're recording right after we've already recorded last week's episode. So there's no new patrons to shout out. And that's all the news I really have. So we can go ahead and take a quick break and get into the fucked up shit in a second. But what I want to say is much love to everybody who's shown appreciation. The first episode of Conspiracies has dropped, as well as the second episode as when this episode comes out. But the first episode of Conspiracies has dropped since we're recording this. All of them are wild and we're getting yelling at each other and getting drunk. And it's so much fun. And I really enjoy it. And I hope you guys enjoy it too. And I appreciate the people who have been giving us reception and letting us know that they enjoyed it. So get on over to that Patreon if you haven't. Yeah, check it out. Get on over there. We got more to come in 2022. But what we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to get into some fucked up shit. So stick around.
Affirmative Murder is brought to you by My Life in a Book. With Mother's Day right around the corner, I just know you guys are thinking about a truly special gift for your mom. But let me tell you about a pretty priceless gift. MyLifeInABook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book that you could pass down from generation to generation, which I think is a pretty awesome memento to leave behind. Here's how it works. Every week, MyLifeInABook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions that you want to ask. Your mother or the mother can either type her response or record her voice. MyLifeInABook.com then compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. And guess what? They can even create an audiobook using her voice recordings. It would be like preserving her voice and her stories for all of eternity. Your mom's giving you a lifetime of stories, and this is your chance to give her a way to share them. I'm in the middle of MyLifeInABook.com journey, and I'm really excited to see how it turns out. I've been asking some pretty thought-provoking and funny questions, and you know, I'm excited to see the response, but I'm also just excited to have the physical book in my hands and know that I can look back on it in 20, 30 years. The interface is super user-friendly. The questions are super easy to set up. It's a breeze of a process. So what I need you to do is check out MyLifeInABook.com. That's MyLifeInABook.com. And use code AMP, that's A, M as in Mother's Day, P, at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for the mom in your life this Mother's Day. One more time, that's MyLifeInABook.com. Use code AMP for 10% off today.
You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow. I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
Welcome back. It's my turn to go first this week. My affirmative murder this week is about Michael Darnell Harris. Mm. And took place in Michigan in the 80s. So Michael Darnell Harris was born on March 7th, 1963. In Muskegon Heights, Michigan. The eldest of five children, he spent most of his childhood in Muskegon, where he claimed to have been raised in a good family. In 1973, his mother found a high-paying job at Veterans Hospital in Ann Arbor, where the family soon moved in to live with his stepfather. Since the move, Harris began frequently arguing with his stepfather, who became increasingly aggressive and physically abusive. In the late 1970s, Harris dropped out of school and began spending a lot of time on the streets, sleeping in homes of friends and acquaintances, as well as homeless shelters. So this dude was dropped out of high school. You get them problems at home.
Yeah.
Thought the boy Lovis,
you'd rather be anywhere but
home. Out of here. Especially if, you know, I don't know. It wasn't all the information about as far as the relationship with him and his mom.
Yeah.
But I'm guessing, you know, his mom may have not been in his corner. Maybe she was working a lot, or you don't know what.
Yeah, that's like I have like the most minuscule I have experiences of that in small situations. So I know the feelings I've had in situations where my mom took my stepdad's side over me in situations.
Yeah.
And if that's just your life, I can only imagine. That's like, it's so like heartbreaking to feel like being chosen over somebody else. So if that's your life, and I'm obviously describing like fucking, you know, little petty arguments and stuff like that. Yeah. But it's, I understand a small fraction of like the feeling that, like, because at the core of you, you know, you came from this woman, you loved, you have a bond, especially when it's a single parent type of situation. And it's like, you're going to believe this stranger, even it's like y'all been married for 10 years, however, yeah. Whatever the thing is, like, you're gonna take this stranger side over me. That's how like strong that bond is, that it goes to like such a deep core hit on you where it's like you can't believe that you would side with this stranger over me, you know. So
also, it's a different. You have to look at it as like that's a different relationship between you and your mom,
yeah,
and then her and her husband or whatever. The
absolutely,
case. It's just you can't really try to compare. You's like because, but to you as a child, you
yes,
like, what?
Yeah, take my. You're supposed to be on my side
at all times.
Yes, yes.
Either I murdered somebody.
Yes,
you saw me do it. You,
oh, I murdered I didn't him. Do it. I murdered right. him. You're supposed to say fuck him.
Well, I didn't do it.
Yeah, well, I didn't no, do it. Right. That too. Preferably that's why I don't go to jail. Right. But either way, you're supposed to be on my side.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I agree with that. So in 1980, he left Ann Arbor to move to Lansing, which is also in Michigan, where he met a woman who had a relationship with, and they ended up having a child together, a daughter.
Okay.
For the next 2 years, Harris struggled financially, leading him to jobs involving low-skilled labor, and to also living a, you know, homeless or hobo lifestyle.
I don't like that term.
Hobo?
No, low skill labor. The new mayor of New York said something about quote unquote low skill labor, which
what is
like
low skill labor, like
cooks, maid services, minimum wage jobs.
Okay.
But those are the fat, like we saw in the pandemic that those people not working crumbles the economy.
Yeah.
So the idea that somebody working a job like that is stupid or incapable of working a more difficult job is like it's a gross mischaracterization of those people, and it casts such a wide blanket. Like if you work at Dunkin' Donuts, you're an unskilled laborer. It's like no, I'm trying to get myself situated, or
I just wouldn't categorize it as low skilled. I'm guessing if you just go, if like you get a job where it's just like simple directions, is very repetitive, everything.
Sure.
I guess you can call it low skill. But like the post office is like that. It's the same thing every day.
Bro, really, if we're getting down to it, every job is that. We have been trained for our whole life to be monkeys. You go to any job that you go to. I don't care what you think. You went to school. You got a degree. Aside from, you know, obviously being a doctor or a lawyer or something where you got to really talk or really have to have hand skills or even like skilled labor such as, you know, metal smithing or something like that. But if you are a numbers cruncher, an accountant, whatever, you might have a better grasp of math and fucking spreadsheets or whatever, but you're going in and you're clickety-clacking buttons all day.
But that's because and in that case, it's because you do it every day.
Yeah.
Obviously, you have
that's my point. I'm not saying an accountant is unskilled. I'm just saying, like, we're all get our instructions and just do the job all day. Yeah, that's everybody.
Yeah. Even I mean, because, like, with something like that, is like an accountant is like, oh, you can go, damn, that sounds like a hard job. But it's like, yeah, it's because you can say that because you don't know it.
Yeah.
And you didn't study it. But once you do it every day, you get to learn that.
You can do it in your sleep.
Some people do have a talent just to. They can just go over, you know, just a little bit higher than what you can do.
Yeah, they're like exceptional accountants. Right, they don't need a calculator, or you know, they can do numbers in their head, like on Ozark, the show Ozark. That's what the guy Marty. He can make money just disappear. He's just a genius at it. And then there's accountants who are like a C-minus accountant.
Yeah,
but that person can do basic accounting in their sleep because they were trained to do that.
Right.
So if your job is to work at Dunkin' Donuts and you are trained on how to make the coffee this way, whatever, this, that, and the third. I don't like that it's called unskilled because of how much money you make, one, and two, because it's perceived that you're just making coffee. So people just think, oh, I can go in and just do it.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, I would never.
Some people just can't do it, though.
Exactly. I feel like most people, to call it unskilled, the idea that, okay, when McDonald's is getting slammed at noon during lunch hour, when you're saying it's unskilled, you're saying me, at my job that I do now, if I really wanted to, if you were taking too long making my McChicken, I'll just flip my tie around my back and jump around the counter and I'll just do your job with nothing. You don't have to tell me how to do anything. A monkey can do this job. And that's the mischaracterization of what those people do.
Yeah.
I would never want to be at McDonald's at 2 o'clock after the bar lets out.
Yeah. I think it's disrespectful when people go, if you say you work somewhere and they go, oh, you work there? Like, it's just super easy.
It's a job, bro.
I remember this dude. This dude has to go to high school with, and I seen him. And he does like fucking landscaping to cut down trees, some shit, right? So I was like, just talking with him. I was like, yo, give me a job with you. You know, I can help you cut down some trees, but I got a big tree in my yard we can cut down, whatever. He was like, wow, my job is hard or whatever. And I was like, okay. And he was like, what you do? I was like, I work for the post office with him. He was like, oh, well, you just deliver mail. That's not hard. I was like, excuse me?
Yeah, why? What?
Excuse me?
That's so disrespectful.
I was picking up Sophie's because this child go to the same school. I was about to fight him in the parking lot. It was, don't you ever disrespect me like that.
You know how hot it is in the middle of August?
Don't you ever disrespect
me. It's all I do.
Right. I'm like, what is... It's crazy how many people see me doing my job and they go, oh, man, you just put the mail in the box.
Man, you get to wear shorts all day.
That's the easiest part. That is the completely easiest. A lot of people come in the post office, bro, and they like, fuck this.
Lose their mind.
It was a dude that, you know, he went out in the street and left the shit out on the street. He left the car and the mail and everything.
Oh, the truck and everything.
Everything.
Oh, wow. No, that's crazy.
Yeah.
People just like, said, fuck it, huh?
Fuck this, man.
that's a hell of a quit.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. I just want
to know. I don't blame him. So yeah. You know? Yeah. Again, but I just think that's super disrespectful. Don't matter what you do to make a living. I wouldn't call it low skill.
Yeah, no.
So on December 7th, 1982, Harris was arrested at a homeless shelter in Jackson for breaking into the property of a 68-year-old Lenora Hayard, whom he was accused of beating and raping.
Oh.
Soon after his arrest, he was proposed as a suspect in the murders of 85-year-old Marjorie Upson and 84-year-old Louise Kobnick, who were raped and strangled on September 28th and 30th of that year.
Jesus.
Respectfully, in Ypsilanti, which is a city in Michigan, authorities from Lansing area also suspected him in a series of rapes and strangulations in their city. So just to name a couple of his victims, they were Edna Rakert, Edith Crosset, Eula Curdy, and Denise Swanson. And all of them were over 75 years of age.
Yeah, we had a situation like that in Baltimore, like within the last 5 years. There was some dude running around.
Yeah, and that dude lived across the street from my brother.
Yeah, I do remember you telling me that.
Yeah, shit is wild. He's like, they shut the whole block down to get this dude out. Like, SWAT team, everything. I was like, that's crazy. So in addition, it's crazy. You see somebody every day and go, "What up, bro?"
Yeah,
and they just want some crazy shit.
That's wild.
In addition to these, Harris was also among the suspects in the murder of 91-year-old Florence Bell,
who 91.
Lived 91 years old, who lived near Upson. It's crazy to just. I think we spoke on this before, or we spoke about something for you to live that long and then something
to be gruesomely like that, murdered. Yeah, it's crazy. You're supposed to die in your sleep. You
peacefully,
know,
man.
Peacefully in a hospice or something, surrounded by family. The words 90, 85, and rape and murder should not be in the same headline at all.
Not.
It's absolutely disgusting. It's really disgusting. It's disgusting in general, obviously. Yeah. But I'm just saying,
an older,
going out like that. Even like an old man getting shot, robbed. And
I'm
murdered.
Just saying, just you live that long for it to end that way. It's not right. It's not right.
Yeah.
He was among the suspects in the murder of 91-year-old Florence Bell, who lived near Upson and was found. So she lived near one of the other victims.
Yeah.
Who was found with her throat slit in her home on January 8th of
1982. That's crazy.
The reason for this suspicion was the fact that at the time of the killing in Lansing, Harris lived in the city, which stopped right after he left in October.
Uh-huh.
Not long after, similar killings started to occur in Jackson, where he moved to.
That makes sense.
So that's a big red flag. It's like, when area they stop?
The area that you were living in, and then you move from, it stopped. And then the area that you moved to, it starts.
Yep.
Yeah.
So on December 14th, during a visual identification procedure, Harris was identified as the rapist of Nahard. He pleaded not guilty to the crime, claiming that he was in a homeless shelter at the time, which was backed up by an attendant who worked there.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's a good alibi. A lot of people there, witnesses and stuff.
So on January 12, 1983, he was charged with Curdy's murder after his fingerprints were found on the chair in the room where she was killed. At the request of his attorneys, he was sent for a psychiatric evaluation at the Center of Forensic Psychiatry in Ypsilanti, which declared him sane in March of that year.
Mm.
Soon after, he was also charged with Swanson's murder. So on March 28th of 1983, Harris went on trial for the assault and rape of Nahard. During the proceedings, the prosecutor's office presented evidence which showed that the perpetrator's blood type and seminal fluid matched Harris, as well as cat hairs found on his clothing that matched those of two cats in the woman's home.
Oh, they're just sweet old ladies with pet cats. Yes. They're cat lady old ladies.
Yep.
Those are the, sometimes they're the best old ladies. Unless it's like you have like 9 cats. But 2 cats is cute. But being an old cat lady with like 11 cats.
11, yeah.
That's scary. But this is just a cute old cat lady.
My grandma had, she's on her second cat now. She doesn't want
it at a time.
Well, she had a cat, it passed away.
Uh-huh.
They had cancer or something, and then
cancer.
Then she got another. Wow. Then he got another cat. The first cat was super aggressive. I wish I knew their names. They got some funny names.
I've known like 7 snowbells, like black people, or like Midnight Shadow. Yeah. If it's just color,
I don't know. The first one was a girl. Mm-hmm. The one she has now Princess. Is a boy, and his name was Playboy.
Oh, no, that's a good one. Yeah. I never heard that one. That's a good one.
His name is Playboy. Because he's super playful. He's this cat is very friendly. The other one was just super aggressive. I had these shoes with like some old Air Max with the air in the bottom of them.
Yeah. Bust the bubble?
I was like, what's that noise? Yeah. Fuck my shoe leaking. All up. Just air all coming out. I walk out flat on one side and shit. So yeah, her cat now is Playboy, but she feeds the other neighborhood cats outside.
Oh, man.
So she got the one inside.
It's just like a bunch of cats be on the porch.
And a bunch of, and the other ones that's outside. But the, you know, Playboy, he just like.
Yeah, house cat.
I'm in here.
I'm house cat. Well, good. You better not. Because those cats out there, you don't want Playboy to get out there.
No.
Those cats? Oh, and the city cats too?
Yeah.
Oh, come on. No, those cats, they'll jump them. You never seen 6 cats stomp a cat. You think they would just bite them. But street cats, they stomp.
I don't know. Don't doubt Playboy, man.
My bad. I'm sorry. My apologies. No, my respect to Playboy.
Playboy.
Yeah.
Playboy. Yeah, so they found some hairs on his clothing that matched the two cats in her home. In addition, 9 people, including the victim herself, identified Harris as the attacker.
Mm.
On April 4th, he attempted to hang himself in the cell using a rope made from torn fabric of his mattress.
Wow.
The rope was unable to support Harris's weight, and after it broke. So, and other inmates called and staff who transported him to Ypsilanti Regional Psychiatric Hospital for treatment for depression. So, you know, he was in prison or whatever, tried to hang himself.
But failed.
But failed.
And yet they say Jeffrey Epstein did it so easily.
I mean, I guess.
Yeah. Anyway.
Continue. So, May 9th, how's that? Is that trial still going on? Sorry to get off.
Oh, the Ghislaine Maxwell?
Yeah.
No, she was found guilty.
Okay.
Yeah, she was found guilty.
They still ain't bring out no clips or no news or nothing. No clip.
Well, okay. I don't mean to go off on another tangent in your story, but you asked a question. I can answer it. I was actually speaking to somebody because I go on Twitter rants and I don't know a fucking thing about anything. So whenever something doesn't make sense to me, I'm like, this is a conspiracy.
Yeah.
So I was like, I can't believe there's no clips and stuff. And somebody informed me very nicely, and I appreciate that. We had a conversation about it. Federal trials aren't filmed.
Okay.
So that's the answer to that. So you're not going to see any. Yeah, I didn't know that either. You see trials and you don't even really pay attention to like if they're federal or state.
Yeah.
But like the Kyle Rittenhouse trial was a state trial. It was in Wisconsin. Okay. So because it was a state trial, they filmed it.
So OJ was a state trial.
It must have been state of California versus OJ Simpson. Yes.
Crazy.
Yes. But a federal trial.
Brutally murdered two people.
Really murdered two people.
And got away.
And is currently like still. Like on Twitter,
shit is wild.
Talking about people.
Every time I think about it, I go, this shit is crazy.
And he's in on the joke at this point. He's like, man, you know, honestly, listen, hey, Juice here. I just think the Lakers should cut Russell Westbrook. You know, sometimes you just got to cut somebody.
Yeah.
And if they're not doing what you want them to do, you just cut them. And you don't lose any sleep over it. You cut them and that's fine. You're like, you know what you're saying, right? Like, you know you're saying that. Like, you understand. Now you're just playing with us.
Yeah.
He's on Twitter every week saying some shit like that. Wow. Patrick Mahomes, man, he just doesn't cut the cake. You know, he's not getting it done. And, you know, somebody should really come see him in the middle of the night. Yeah. Just really shake him by the throat. You're like, what the fuck is he talking about?
It's my Julio Jones, you know, if you can't catch a ball, you try to put the gloves on. If they don't fit, you change the gloves.
Hold on, wait. Oh. You know, I'm noticing something about Julio Jones. You know, like, he needs new gloves. It's like those gloves just don't fit him. And it's think it's really impeding his ability to get. It's like, what are you? And he pulls the glove out. Like, man, and let's just say these are Nike Pro gloves. And here's what a glove looks like when it really fits on your glove, on your hand, like, you know, like Christmas morning. You really want the glove, every finger to be up in the tips. This is how a glove should fit. Yeah. You're like, bro.
So, you know, when he go to Denver to play, you know, it's high altitude, you know, your hands get swollen. So, you know, you have to get. He's like crazy shit. It's like, man, we get it, okay?
Why are you trolling us like this? Just go away, man. You did it. You won. You beat a double murder. Just go away. Why are you still on making videos and stuff?
Oh, shit.
That's crazy. But he's essentially doing that, though.
It's wild, man. Wow.
The juice is loose.
So he tried to hang himself. They sent him to a psychiatric hospital for treatment for depression. So on May 19th, Harris was found guilty of assaulting and raping Nayard, but was initially deemed incompetent to stand trial for the murder charges. He was eventually sentenced to 60 to 90 years imprisonment. And while his sentence was read out, he showed no emotion. Mm. After undergoing treatment, Harris went on trial for the murders of Swanson and Curdy in July of 1983. On September 27th, he was found guilty of Curdy's murder and sentenced to life imprisonment without parole on October 24th. An identical verdict was handed down in the Swanson trial on November 3rd, for which he was given another life term without parole.
Mm.
So following his conviction, Harris was transported to Muskegon Correctional Facility to serve out his sentence. In the late 1990s, DNA testing was performed on the seminal fluid samples found on the bodies of Upson and Kilbnick and Bell, all of which match Harris's genetic profile. Now, Bell, he wasn't. He was just a suspect.
Right, okay.
Until the DNA matched. Testing, and then it was like, oh, he was the one that did that.
So he was a full-on serial rapist.
Oh, yes.
And murderer. Those are three women that were killed?
Or yes.
So he was a serial rapist.
The only one that wasn't killed was Nair.
Okay, got it.
Because she the one that was there to testify.
And identify him and everything. Yeah, okay.
His fluid samples matched the bodies of Upson, Kobnik, and Bell, all of which matched Harris' genetic profile. As a result, he was charged in their murders in December of 2001, with prosecutors presenting implicating evidence at all trials against him. In the end, Harris was convicted and given two additional life terms for Upson and Kobnik's killings, but was not tried for Bell murder due to his multiple life sentence. So it was like,
they gave him too many.
We can't even fucking.
Yeah, but it's like you still want to convict him to give that person a voice.
And we've talked about this multiple times. It's like, still.
Yeah.
You can still get it. It doesn't matter.
Obviously, he's not going to serve the other three that you gave him, but at least you get to, you read this woman's name out in court. Yes. Her family she gets to hear justice, her name. Yes. Yeah, you know, it's like, you know, oh man, we maxed him out on life sentences.
Fuck so that.
Like, yeah, no.
He ain't getting out. No. Put that shit on top of him. It doesn't matter. So throughout the years that followed, Harris continued to insist on his innocence and regularly appealed. So again, he's like, I didn't do it.
And that DNA is irrefutable.
Right. I didn't do it. But this some crazy shit did come up. Accusing the police and forensic experts of fabricating evidence against him by placing his blood samples on items found at the crime scene and then isolating his DNA. Mm. He also argued that the contaminated items along with his blood samples were not shown to the jury at his trials. And his attorney's motions for independent DNA testing were denied. However, each of these appeals were dismissed and they were found to be without merit. So in 2015, Harris asked that this shit was kind of crazy. So Harris asked the Ingham County District Judge Rosemary Aquilina for DNA testing to be performed on the seminal fluids found in Eula Curdy's belt, which investigators believe that the perpetrator left behind. The testing began in early of 2006, with the results revealing that the DNA matched another individual and not Harris.
Mm.
This caused public outrage, causing the case to garner new publicity and his guilt to be questioned.
Yeah.
The Michigan State Police subsequently began an investigation to determine whether Harris had tampered with the evidence, with the Ingham County District Court set a hearing for September 23rd of 2016, to consider new evidence that could overturn his conviction in Curdy's murder.
Mm.
In addition to the test results, Harris' attorneys insisted that the conviction be overturned on the grounds that the chair found at the crime scene in which Harris' palm prints were supposedly found had been returned to police by family members of the murdered woman before the trial began. But he was saying that, hey, look, this should have been from the jump.
Yeah,
the chair should have been taken as evidence from the beginning.
Yeah, so they got it later.
Right.
Mm. Yeah, but that doesn't explain why you. I get that he's in that situation. He's claiming habeas corpus, like you guys didn't do this the right way.
Right.
But your fingerprints are still in the chair.
Yeah.
But I understand him saying, yeah, but you guys didn't have it as evidence when you were at the crime scene in the beginning.
Right.
But I don't know if you can fabricate handprint, like fingerprints. I don't know.
Well, they were saying that and, you know, the government or the FBI agents or police were taking his blood samples.
That's what I'm saying. Like
placing them places.
Yeah, like, that's a big reach, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
But the DNA sample being somebody else's, that's interesting.
Yeah.
That is a real red flag or like that perks me up. But when people start saying, that was the same thing in Making a Murderer when he was saying, you know, they were planning his DNA because they wanted it to be him. It's like, oh, I don't know. That's where you start to, I don't know. I'm not saying it doesn't happen. I'm not saying it couldn't happen. I've seen videos of, you know, chest cameras of police officers planting drugs in people's car. Mm. But I'm just saying, I don't know. The planning DNA seems harder. Seems like a harder thing to pull off.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So again, so the family members of the murder family, returned the chair to the evidence, and he said instead of being it should have been retained as physical evidence during that time.
Yes.
So accusations of racial bias were also, you know, him. He was letting, like, you know, all white jury.
Mm.
Yeah. Something's not right here. I didn't get a fair trial. So with some of Harris supporters pointing out that the jury consisted entirely of white people. In early 2017, the Ingham County State Attorney's Office petitioned for a second DNA test, which subsequently found Harris' DNA at the Curdy crime scene, prompting Justice Rosemary to dismiss the evidence hearing on September 27th, thereby preventing the possibility that Harris could be granted a new trial. He again reasserted his innocence and accused both the police and the prosecutor's office of yet again falsifying the evidence. Backed by his attorney, Harris filed a motion demanding that Rosemary scheduled a hearing in which Harris and his attorney could question the crime lab technicians who worked on the case. So he's like, all y'all just fucked up. Yeah. Or all y'all tried to frame
it's kangaroo
me.
Kangaroo court.
Yeah. Yeah. So Rosemary denied this request, stating that she had no authority to do so because DNA tests proved Harris' culpability in Curdy's murder.
Yeah.
So, with that DNA, I did read another article and it was like,
because like, how would they get a seminal fluid? You know,
that
if
DNA,
your seminal fluid was found, it'd be one thing if they if you say, oh, they beat me up, so I was bleeding. They scooped some of it up in a vial. It's like, okay, I can try to follow you. It sounds crazy,
yeah.
But okay, they jerked you off,
yeah.
And your sleep, like, how did they get your semen to plant somewhere? You know,
yeah.
But go ahead, sorry.
No, I was just saying that the part with the DNA that it wasn't, it didn't match here. It was somebody else's?
That DNA you're talking about?
That didn't happen. That was false.
Really?
Yeah.
His lawyers lied?
So he tried to, I did an interview with other article and it was like, he tried to, that wasn't his semen, but he tried to get somebody else, he tried to plant that himself on that lady's belt, supposedly.
Get the hell out of here.
And that's why I didn't match.
Oh, to like throw them off.
While
he was there.
To throw them off.
And so after he sexually assaulted her, he had somebody else's semen with him?
It was so weird, the one article I read, it was so weird that said that the DNA, that semen that they found was of like a, no, yeah, it was like a, was to a child at the time.
Oh, that's gross.
Yeah, it was to a child at the time who was like, at the time was like 13 years old.
Oh, no, that's foul. You think he paid a kid to come on something to bring somewhere?
I don't know. I didn't even.
That was a crazy question I just asked you. We'll move on. That was crazy. Don't even worry about it. Go ahead. What's next?
No,
that was crazy. Go ahead. No, that's next question. Go ahead.
Yes. I don't know. That's some dark
on.
Shit.
We'll move on.
That's some diabolical shit. You do some shit like that.
Yeah, we can move on.
Yeah, but that was it. That was my story of Michael Donnell Harris.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's
man.
A
so
crazy
he was like,
twist.
Yeah,
he planted the other semen.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah, man. So that was my story of Michael Donnell Harris.
Yeah. Make sure you pull that up. So when we're on break, I want to check that out. Okay. Well, what we're gonna do is we're gonna take a quick break, and when we come back, it's my turn to get into some fucked up shit. So stick around. All right, and we are back, Frank. You wanted to follow up on something?
Yeah, so I found an article. It's from the Detroit Free Press. So in this article, it says that, you know, the DNA tests weren't available in 1983 when Harris was convicted. But Michigan State Police recently found that the semen stain on Curdy's clothing belonged to another man who was 13 at the time of her death. And this is from attorney Ed Zine is the one that, you know, spoke about this in this article.
That brings up so many more questions for me.
How did that get there?
How did that get there?
Biggest question.
I'm not going to ask you the question again.
Right. And his fingerprints of DNA is in other parts of the room, on the chair that they, you know, had the problems with. And he was like, they should have collected the chair that same day. So he could be trying to blame it on
them planting his finger. That's what he's saying. Yeah. You guys planted my fingerprints on there. But really, what it really seems like is that if anybody planted DNA, it was him. And I'm not going to ask you, but I'm wondering, I asked the world, like, how did he get a 13-year-old sperm to throw on somebody? If that's what happened, I don't know. But that's how that's one of the scenarios that's going through my mind, is that, you know, he threw sperm on this lady to throw detectives off the case when they find DNA samples or whatever, or DNA evidence or whatever. I don't know. It's dark. I don't know. It's a crazy one. But anyway. My affirmative murder story this week is actually very short because it's technically a closed case currently. It just recently happened over the last couple of months, but I wanted to bring attention to it because it is a very fishy story, and it reminds me of another story that I never covered, and I probably should have, and maybe I will at some point, but I see so many parallels to the story, so I wanted to bring attention to the story for one and then touch on the story that it reminds me of. So back in November, Fran, there was a young lady named Lauren Smith Fields.
Mm-hmm.
She met an older white gentleman on Bumble. For people who aren't familiar, Bumble is like the Sadie Hawkins of dating apps. Like the women choose, like they pick.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's
okay.
Like it's up to them to seek you out. Like you don't get to initiate. You can like them, but you can't talk to them until they talk to you.
Got you.
You know, and that's where Lauren Smithfields met an older white gentleman who is unidentified still, and I'll get into that.
Was it a cold case?
No, it's a solved case. I'll get into it. So this was in Bridgeport, Connecticut. She was 23 years old. She was like a social media influencer, like on Instagram. She, you know, did posts and stuff, and she was getting likes and stuff. She was an aspiring social media influencer. And she was found unconscious in her apartment just days before Christmas. The phone call was made by the older gentleman. It was on December 12th, to be specific, but the unknown older white gentleman, who, again, unknown, he called the police. He informed them that they met on a dating site and that she had overdosed.
Okay.
So, like I said, the man notified the police about her condition, and they let him go. I don't know how.
Questioning a nun?
No. And let me. So her brother, Lakeem, his name's Lakeem Jeter, he was told by the police. They said he was a nice guy and that they did not suspect any foul play. So they let him go. They showed up. There's this, oh my God, I can't believe this. She just overdosed. And they're like, well, you know something? You seem like a nice guy. I'm sorry you had to see this black girl fucking.
Was this recent?
This was like, yeah, this was like 2 months ago. This was in December.
I remember just hearing that part.
Yeah.
He was a nice, that's crazy.
He was a nice guy. That's crazy. I'm sorry you had to see this fucking drug addict.
A nice guy?
Yeah, that's crazy. I'm sorry this happened to you. This lady overdosed in front of you. I can't believe you had to experience that. But you seem like a nice old man. Go ahead and have a nice day. Merry Christmas.
Yeah. Privilege, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, sure. Nice. Some people call it that. So, you know, the Lauren's family describes her as a beautiful child with the world at her feet. You know, she ran track. She went to Stanford High School, graduated. She was on the track team, like I said.
So they told that to her brother.
Told that to her brother. Because they're like, who? They're like, wait, somebody was.
You get points in the face.
He's like, there was somebody here with her? And they're like, yeah, it was just an old white dude. He was nice. So we don't think there was any foul play. We just think your sister is a junkie. Your sister, who we've never met, we just think she overdosed at her apartment. That's the conclusion, man, we came to. And so we felt like it wasn't necessary to have this old man here. He seemed nice, and it's close to Christmas, so we let him go. This young lady was also, you know, enrolled to be a physical. She was taking physical therapy classes at a community college near her. You look at her pictures. This is a seemingly bright young lady, and obviously pictures can't do everything justice. I went to high school with kids who could take a great headshot and take a great photograph, and were actively weaning themselves off of drugs with Suboxone. You know what I mean? Like, they're taking replacement drugs for oxycodone and stuff. They were functioning drug addicts, you know. So, but I'm not saying that that's what she is. But I'm just saying she doesn't look like she was going through problems with addiction.
Yeah,
her pictures were getting thousands of likes on Instagram. I'm not saying that that's a benchmark for anything. I'm just saying she really was putting herself. She wasn't like most people with drug addiction problems or addiction problems in general. Typically, a little bit more reserved. You know, you might not be able to have as much access to them. And this is a person who's actively trying to be a social media presence. So, you know, she's putting a lot of herself out into the world.
Yeah.
So not really. I think if she was a drug addict, people would know.
Yeah.
You know, especially if she's doing hardcore drugs that you can overdose on. I don't think you can mask that very well in 2022 or 2021, which is when she died. So I just don't think it's possible to be hardcore into drugs at this age, and like your whole group of friends doesn't reflect that. Like, there's no way she's in the brunch culture.
I don't know. I think it's easier to mask it now than years ago.
That's interesting. How so?
Because all the technology. I think, especially if you're talking about pictures and stuff, I think it's easier to.
No, but I'm saying, like, she's going out, like, she has friends, and the idea that her group of friends doesn't reflect, like, all of her friends aren't. If you're a drug addict, there's no way that you're a drug addict and all of your friends aren't, and they don't know that you're doing drugs. I don't think that's possible. Mm. The social media thing, yeah, sure. You can Photoshop your pictures and put Facetune and hide scarring or bags under your eyes or missing teeth. All that, I get that. I give you that, for sure. I agree. You can make your pictures look great. But being on social media, doing like inspirational videos, having a circle of friends, networking, trying to grow your profile, all of this requires face-to-face, going out and being, you know, personable with people. And I don't think it's possible for you to have a severe addiction enough that you're doing hardcore drugs and being socializing with people and nobody have any idea that you have an addiction. I don't think that's possible. Like, if I had a drug addiction, you would know that. You know? That's what I mean. That's what I mean. I'm not referring, now I'm taking it away, more away from the pictures online and more about like her circle of friends.
Yeah.
And all of her family are saying, no, she was not a drug addict. And I feel like we would know by now, somebody would go, yeah, no, no, no. I sell her heroin.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like that would have come out by now.
Yeah.
So
that person definitely wouldn't do that, but
you don't think so?
Hell no.
Everybody wants to be famous. I don't put anything past anybody. The dude who sold Mac Miller drugs, he ended up going to jail, but like he was doing, he did interviews, I think.
After the fact?
Yeah.
I think he knew he was going to jail though.
Either way, I know like the dude's name.
Yeah.
Because it was stories on No Jumper and DJ Academics. Like the name was out there. He was not shy about it. He's like, yeah, well, I am that guy. You know,
oh, shit, really?
You know, yeah, it was, well, not like I am the guy that killed Mac Miller, but he was like, yeah, no, I'll speak for myself. I have no problem coming out and being on camera and defending myself or whatever.
He was going to get him anyway.
Yeah. But anyway, so like I said, the family is saying, no, our daughter was not a drug user. Yeah. They paid out of pocket for a second autopsy because they didn't believe the conclusion that the local authorities came to.
Damn, that's some bullshit.
Yeah, so they've yet to get the results, and if they have by now, they haven't released them. I haven't heard any updates. They also denounced the police for their response to the situation. They said that the family was denied basic courtesies and that the people were kind of condescending and being rude to them, especially at the idea of them probably being angry that they let this old man go. And this seems probably seems based on what I've been reading is they took this old man's side. And already came to the conclusion that he did nothing wrong. He was a nice old man. And so when they're saying, wait, so there was a guy here with her and you let him go? Yeah. And they're like, yeah. But listen, he's not a suspect. I know what a suspect looks like. This was just some nice old white man who happened to be here for a Bumble meetup. The family also, this part is a little hazy. I don't want to disrespect the family or anything like that. But the family is also asserting that even though this was Bumble, she was meeting this man for a business opportunity. Like, it wasn't a date. It was under the guise of he's going to be able to help her with her life. She trusted him to maybe do some kind of business collaboration or something of the sort, maybe something with her social media presence, something like that. Maybe he was going to invest some money in her.
They didn't have like any, that. They didn't have the conversation or nothing. They don't know the profile.
Oh, like the, I don't know. I haven't read that. But again, I don't even know this guy's name.
Okay.
So this guy definitely has some money. And that goes into a story that it reminds me of. I just want to wrap up and, you know, just put all the information that I have available about this story out there. But so like I said, the family's going through grief, but they're out getting their daughter's name out there. They're talking to local politicians. They're, you know, beating the streets, and they're just trying to make sure that the world knows that there was some foul play that happened here. Because really, the case is closed, kind of. They said she overdosed. So there is no, they got a second autopsy, but there is no suspect, quote unquote. Like, the old man was a nice old man, and he just happened to be at the wrong place at the wrong time, and this lady overdosed in front of him, right? The Bridgeport Police Department released a statement saying that they are taking this matter very seriously, and the command staff for the Detective Bureau is reviewing and handling the case to ensure that the best practices were and are being followed. They said it is imperative to note that the death of Lauren Smith Fields remains an ongoing investigation. Our department extends its deepest condolences to the family of Lauren. And this is a statement from the department. And this definitely came after after the family comes out and says they were rude to us. They called this old man like a nice old man and all this stuff. So in order to defend themselves, they had to come out and make a statement like this. Now, this story reminds me of, this was like, I want to say this was like 5 years ago. It might have been more than that. It might have been less than that. But there was a guy named Ed Buck in California. He was like a mover.
Ed Buck.
Ed Buck. Nasty name. He was like a mover and shaker in the Democratic Party. He was a donor. You know, he had a lot of political ties. A wealthy guy. And there were these rumors that he was drugging black male sex workers. And two people overdosed at his house.
Like a party or something? Or?
No, like he would bring them off the street or whatever, pay them, and drug them, like give them drugs. Whether or not they were taking the drugs themselves, whether or not he was shooting them up, whether or not he was, you know, getting them kitted, like putting the drugs into the needle syringe and everything, and maybe he's putting too much in there because he wants them to be extra out of it or whatever. That I don't know because I don't remember this. I know he's in prison, which is what I'll get to. But my point is, Ed Buck was this wealthy, older white man with a lot of political ties and a lot of money, and he was out on the streets still being seen with young black men while people, paparazzi and other and people on Twitter and stuff, were accusing him of being a murderer. They're saying, people are actively saying Ed Buck killed two young black sex workers and he got away with it and he's out on the streets. And they would still see him out with young black dudes getting into his car. They go up to him with the cameras and stuff. And eventually, you know, people beat the pavement long enough that he was arrested and then he went to trial and he was found guilty for the murder of the two dudes because they overdosed at his house. Now, I don't know if I don't have, like, you know, the court details in front of me to say whether or not he shot them up you know, whatever. But he picked them up, provided them the drugs. They overdosed on the drugs at his house and he was found guilty for that. And so there's a precedence to go, okay, Ed Buck was this Democratic Party donor. He was a wealthy guy. He was out in the public eye. He's another old white man that the police might show up to a crime scene and go, oh, that guy, he's a nice guy. Like, you know, this is just an accident. This fucking drug addict overdosed, you know, typical, you know, hey, you don't do drugs, right? But you have a nice day. Sorry that this happened. We'll get this body out of your house and we'll get out of your hair. I'm sorry this happened. And then it happened again. You know,
but the autopsy did come back. Talking about the young lady,
Lauren. Yeah,
did
Lauren
come back.
The autopsy came back that she overdosed. There was drugs in her system. Right, right. But there being drugs in her system doesn't mean that she put the drugs in her system.
Right.
Doesn't mean that they, you know, that she was aware. Because what is being said, basically, the story that we're rolling with, if we're saying she overdosed, is this young lady met a guy on Bumble. Whether or not it was a date, but let's say it's what her family says, and this was a business opportunity. And during a business opportunity at her house with this older white man, she went in the bathroom or in a corner somewhere and did hardcore drugs in the middle of some kind of business meeting. And this white man was just there to talk to her about business or whatever. And he was shocked.
And was it no evidence came out as like rape or anything like that?
That's why they got a second autopsy. And I don't have that information on hand, but there was no mention of rape in the initial autopsy. So, you know, it's just crazy. Like, this man, he's unidentified. I don't think they took any DNA, blood from him. Maybe he had drugs in his system. Maybe they both were on drugs. That changes things a bit, huh? Probably not a business meeting if they're both doing drugs. Again, no disrespect to the family, because they're asserting that she was a young entrepreneur and this was a business meeting. Yeah. This wasn't a date. But if they both have drugs in their system, it changes the rendezvous a bit. I don't know if they're talking about Bitcoins, you know, if they're both doing drugs. But they didn't test this man's system for drugs. And whether or not that's because he knows chief of police, he knows somebody who knows somebody, and he gets to just be some nice old man who was at the wrong place at the wrong time.
Yeah.
No slap on the wrist, no inconvenience. He wasn't even there when the family arrived to the crime scene. Like, there's no man in the back of a squad car that's going to go get interrogated. He just got to go home and remains unidentified. You know, so for people who are unfamiliar with the Ed Buck story, I suggest them look into it just to kind of broaden your mind about the idea that this might not have gone the way that it's being said that it went. It's a very strange story. Rest in peace to Lauren Smith Fields. I don't have any further details because, as the police department said, this is still an active investigation somehow. But they have concluded through their autopsy that she overdosed and that the old man was not they didn't suspect foul play. I don't know how they came to that conclusion. I have to do some more research. Looking at him, they're like, he's old, you know. But Ed Buck looks really fucking old, too. So I suggest people Google Ed Buck. He was messing with young, athletic black dudes, and there were two overdoses.
Where was this at again?
This was in California. Ed Buck or her?
Ed Buck.
Ed Buck was in California.
California.
Lauren Smith Fields was in Connecticut. Another wealthy part of the country. It's a lot of money in Connecticut. So when they say this man, this unidentified old man, old white man, I go, he's unidentified, no mugshot. They didn't take him in for an interrogation. This could be, you know, a political player, somebody that can make phone calls. To just be able to get in your car and go home when you're at a house where there's a dead body?
Yeah.
I just don't know if that goes that way.
And if they have, like, no past ties. That's so super weird.
Yeah, they met on Bumble.
Yeah,
you know. And again, I haven't seen, like, you know, text history or screenshots from Bumble or anything like that. That information could get out there if they really want it.
Yeah,
and they probably have it if they know they met on Bumble. So maybe it was just like innocuous talking, like there was nothing really that red flagged, you know. But it to me, it matters. Again, I just want to really reiterate that I'm not trying to disrespect the family. But the transcripts of the conversations on Bumble matter to me, because it would dead a narrative that this was like a business meeting.
Yeah.
And if it wasn't a business meeting, and then this woman wasn't doing drugs alone. You know?
Yeah.
Because that really paints her it makes her look really bad. If the family's saying, no way, she wouldn't be, no disrespect, a sugar baby type of situation, looking for an older dude to make some money, give her some money to date or whatever, because that's where my brain goes. But they're saying it's not that. So what they're saying is she's an entrepreneur. She met this guy. It was a friendly business meeting. It's like, okay, so she went to she had him come over to her apartment for a business meeting. And then she did drugs on the low while he was there to talk business. And then she overdosed.
Yeah.
It just doesn't seem very likely. It seems a lot more likely that these two might have been partying, doing drugs together, and something went wrong. And if that's the case, then they completely botched the investigation by letting him just leave, possibly under the influence of drugs, yeah. Right in that moment where they're deciding that he's a nice old man.
Everything is based off that conversation. I would love to know what that.
That's interesting, you know, because I mean. You know, we sit on here as couch detectives or online sleuths or whatever you want to call people like us, and we make judgments about people who've been detectives and police officers for decades and whatever.
Yeah.
And I would not sit here and say that a person who works actively with people who have addiction and are on the streets and all that kind of stuff don't know what a person that's on drugs right in front of their face looks like. Mm. I think if he was whacked out on drugs, they would know. So that tells me he was not on drugs, possibly. But if he wasn't on drugs, why was she doing drugs? That's the sketchy part. Did she do drugs knowingly? That's the question. What did he, you know, I hate to use it as a verb, but did he Bill Cosby her? Is this his thing? And he, you know, overestimated the dosage that he slips them?
Now, I think it would have been different if it was at his house.
Why?
Because I think if they met on Bumble and she goes to his house and get an overdosed, then I think they will question him more than what they did at her house. Because he came to her house and maybe it was like they can look at, oh, they was just partying.
Sure.
But I think it's more questions if she went to his house.
She's the vulnerable. She's out of her element.
She ends up dead at his house.
Sure, I can see that. That was what happened in the Ed Buck situation. Mm. They were at Ed Buck's house.
Yeah.
Two bodies were found overdosed at his house.
At his house, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I can see your point. But I don't know. I'd want to see.
But she doesn't have any past history of drugs.
No, I mean, listen. That's her. That's Lauren Smith Fields.
Yeah.
Obviously, that's a great picture, yeah. Like, you know, but here's the picture. They have it on here that's from her Instagram. Okay, so yeah. So, again, now, I don't know what this is, the date that this is as of, but this is the picture that I just showed you. Mm-hmm. This is her. This is from her Instagram.
Okay.
Right? So, these are from her Instagram. It's 10,000 likes.
Yeah.
You know? Now, you know, pretty girls do well on Instagram.
Yeah, she's a beautiful girl.
She's very pretty. And she doesn't, again, I don't know what does a drug addict look like, right? Like, yeah. We can't play that game.
Right.
But my point about saying social media and her influencing and everything like that, it's not easy to get 10,000 likes on a picture. I don't care how pretty you are. There are a lot of pretty girls on Instagram who don't get 10,000 likes on their pictures. So this is, she's an active social media influence. She's out there. She's worked. She's putting pictures on there. Her face is out there. People know, or they think they know, what this girl is up to.
Now, her getting that many likes, I could believe that could have been just a business meeting, depending on what this dude was offering her. Like,
yes,
in the this conversation,
matters. That matters.
Like, what kind of was he like? Did he have a business?
What kind
or something
of business meeting was
something?
It? Like, the idea that they just let him go without questioning him, like, why don't we know why he was there?
Yeah.
Why don't we? And now they let him go. This has become now it's starting to bubble up and become a thing that people are talking about. They're not going to talk to this guy without a lawyer present ever. There's more to this story than this girl just had an old man to her apartment and did drugs in the other room. They say an old white man.
The old white man.
50 plus.
60.
Like and sometimes I say stuff and people that are like 50 go, you know, 50's not old. I'm just speaking in general. I'm not calling anybody old, but old white man to me, 50 and over. Not saying 50's old, but I'm just saying, I don't think he was 80 years old.
Yeah.
I think he was like an older, well-off white man. So I say 50 to 60 years old, you know, and his reasons for being there matter. Their text history matters. Their Bumble conversation matters. All of this matters because when you're talking about painting a scenario where a girl was either in a business meeting or flirting with an old man for the purpose of maybe making some money or, you know, whatever, going, getting some dinner, maybe getting a bag out of him. This is the world we live in. This is the culture we live in. Let's just be honest about it. You know, the city girls rap about it all the time. You know, get a Birkin bag, whatever, this type of stuff. If this was that kind of situation, she wanted to have some, get some nice stuff from an old man or whatever, or they had a real legit business meeting. Either one of these things, she went off into a room and did drugs and overdosed?
Oh, no, man. It's crazy.
Now, they are putting fentanyl in a lot of this stuff. So it could have been.
That shit is crazy.
It could have been. She could have did a lot. They could have been doing coke.
Yeah.
You know, it could have been a line. It could have been a line of coke. I don't know what it was.
Why are they mad at the house? Business meeting, you go out for lunch.
That's why the Bumble thing is. That's why the Bumble thing is so important. The tech. Maybe this isn't the first time they met.
Yeah, business meeting.
Maybe this was the second date. Yeah, you go to a lunch. You go to a lunch. You go to a restaurant.
Public, somewhere.
Yes, all of this is weird. All of it's weird. And the business meeting thing is coming from her family. The business meeting is coming from them saying because they're combating because everybody your brain goes to what I'm saying, and I don't want to disrespect her or the family, but like my brain goes to sugar baby type of situation.
Yeah.
So they're saying no. She was an entrepreneur and this was a business meeting. But then your next question is like, well, why was it at her apartment? You know?
Yeah.
So the text history matters. I keep saying it over and over again. These things matter, and the idea that they just let this guy go is crazy to me. So again, rest in peace to Lawrence Smith Fields. The story's crazy. It reminded me a lot of the Ed Buck story, and it reminded me a lot of the Ed Buck story because the Ed Buck story caught traction because he was a high profile person with money. This person,
and they caught him.
And it was California. Yeah. There's paparazzi, and he's being suspected and accused of overdosing people at his house, and he's being seen with more young black men.
Right.
So people are like, he's gonna do it again. But this man is in Connecticut. It's a low key state. There's no people following up on this. We don't know his name, and he could go back out there and get on Bumble or get on another one of these dating sites and meet up with some other girl. Yeah. And maybe he's giving them drugs or slipping drugs to them or whatever the case may be, but he's out there and he could do it again. And he's just some old nice man. So, you know, I just wanted to bring attention to it. It's getting attention. It's the attention is starting to grow, but that's what the purpose of this platform. So I just wanted to bring attention to the Lawrence Smith Fields story and say that it has to be more complicated than an overdose because it doesn't make sense why you would do drugs, whether or not it's a business meeting or whatever, why you would do enough drugs to overdose.
Right.
Again, I don't know if it was fentanyl. If it was fentanyl, that changes things a bit because you could accidentally overdose on fentanyl with a small amount. But I don't know. It's a complicated story and it deserves attention and it deserves the family. I feel bad that they had to come out of pocket for a second autopsy. And
yeah, it's fucked up.
Yeah. But I think they have a GoFundMe active. I don't have it on hand. I wish I did. I would say it. But rest in peace to Lawrence Smith Fields, man. Let's go ahead and get into these good vibes so we can get out of here. Time for some good vibes up in this piece. Let me get my story together really quick. I had it, but now I have to play the music. So that changes things for a second. Hold on. All right. Yes. Like I said, it's time for some good vibes. I had to find my story really quick. I found it, friend. 2022 is, you know, we were struggling to find something. Nothing bad has particularly happened, but it's been a lot of circus stuff, like the Antonio Brown stories, lead things, like I said about Elmo earlier. It's been a lot of like internet fuckery has been leading. I haven't heard a lot of like positive stories as of late, but we're still, it's the first week of January, so we got a long ways to go. But a good vibe story I did find was about a dog who protected their owner who injured himself while hiking. He kept him warm with cuddles. The owner said, quote, in the headline, "The loyalty did not stop." So a hiker slipped and fell 500 feet in Croatia's...
Fell.
Damn. 500 feet in Croatia's Velebit mountain range, critically injuring his leg. And his beloved pup stayed by his side until they both were rescued. The dog is being hailed as a hero after keeping the injured hiker warm and alive in the snowy Croatian mountains. So I'm sure he fell onto a bed of snow. I'm not saying he didn't get hurt, but I'm just saying 500 feet is a long fall.
Yeah.
And maybe he survived because he fell onto some snow. Still hurt himself, but didn't die.
Yeah.
Thankfully. That's a steep fall. North, an 8-month-old Alaskan Malamute pup stayed by his owner's side during a New Year's weekend hike that ended in an accident. Never have I ever seen a name with only one vowel in it, but this person's name is Griga. G-R-G-A. Griga. I'm sorry, I lied. I've now seen a last name with only one vowel in it as well. His name's Griga Brukic. B-R-K-I-C. There's that's crazy. It's very aggressive.
Yeah.
Griga Brukic. It's like Vikings. Anyway, he slipped and fell 500 feet, critically injuring both his legs in the Croatian Velvet Mountains, like I said. This is according to the Associated Press. The man's canine companion braved the frigid weather with Brickage and kept the hiker safe and warm by lying on top of him. Oh, we don't deserve dogs. While North stayed with his owner, the two other hikers with Brickage alerted rescuers to their friend stranded 5,905 feet above sea level. The team behind Brickage's eventual rescue shared news of the incident and its happy ending in a Facebook post earlier this week, including a photo of North protecting the owner while the man lay on a stretcher. So he was on the stretcher with him too. They were quoted as saying, "Friendship and love between man and dog know no boundaries." The rescue team, this is what the rescue team wrote in the post. He, as in North, curled up with Brickage and warmed his body, and the loyalty did not stop, guarding the man for 13 hours. From this example, we can all learn a thing about caring for each other. A team of 27 first responders was involved in Berkich's rescue, which proved difficult due to snow, ice, and broken trees. These elements made it challenging for rescuers to reach Brickage and his beloved canine. The rescue team was able to transport the dog dad and North to medics on Tuesday morning. So that's really awesome. The dog's owner was quoted as saying, "This little dog is a real miracle." It reminds me, this is a very like somber and sad version of this, but there's like a very famous meme on the internet of a dog who was laying by their owner's casket and like wouldn't leave the casket during the funeral, and
militarism.
I don't remember if it was a military funeral, but it's possible that it was. But either way, the dog was like just heartbroken beside himself and laying right there. Yeah. You know, it was so sad. But like that's what dogs are. Like that's what they are. It's unconditional love. It's really, well, they like treats, but still, it's unconditional love. So it's a really beautiful story, and I love dogs. So yeah. Anyway, Fran.
Yeah, I don't really confine nothing this week.
Yeah, I know. I get
but,
you.
But I saw an article about I've been doing a lot of reading on like electric cars.
Sure.
And I, you know, just doing the research, when I was like, I'm glad that we are moving in this direction, is trying to save the planet now.
Sure.
And it's like
better late than never.
Yeah, because I don't know if you knew this, but Charger Dodge is like the Charger. They're not making charges after 2023. Like that's it. They're like, because I think the government is giving. They're trying to give incentives these car companies to go full on electric.
Yeah.
And I read that
it's tax deductions and stuff like
that Joe Biden said that there's supposed to be a target of by 2030 more than half of car sales will be towards electric cars.
I mean, no, there's some dope electric cars out there.
Yeah.
But electric, I just want to say, you know, obviously, you know, you want to root for things, and I think that's progress and stuff, but electric car production isn't without its own problems as well.
Yeah.
Like the getting the material for the batteries and stuff, there's a lot of problems there. But electric cars are dope. I'm a fan of electric cars.
Yeah, me too.
And they have some really awesome ones. And it's the future. It's the way that it's going. So, but I feel Dodge is really missing an opportunity, because why not just make the Charger electric? That's great marketing. It's called a Charger.
I think I'm talking about. They probably will, but I think it's not going to be.
It's not going to be a gas.
It's not going to be gas.
Yeah.
But you know,
because that's a great name. If you're going to have an electric car, the Charger.
Because the value of those cars is going to go up by then.
Of a gas power one. Yeah, so you hold on to yours.
Once they stop making them. But speaking on gas, on electric cars, the biggest scam.
Oh, go to it.
Ever is the emissions test.
Oh, yeah, that's bullshit. Man, I went and got an emissions test one time. Lady was eating a bag of Fritos and wasn't paying attention to anything.
At all.
You just kind of go and
get out, get back in.
Yep.
Turn it off. I'm like,
what did you just prove?
What the fuck is this?
Yeah, that'll be $25 or however much it costs. Yeah, it's like, all a racket. What? Man. Everything's a racket. Toll booths.
Scam.
We were told that toll booths were to pay for the construction of the bridge for the toll. Tolls have been around for over 20 years. You telling me y'all haven't paid for that bridge yet? Y'all still is just charge. You just charge now.
There's always, they're always doing something over there. Half the shit ain't even open half of the time. I was like, are y'all fixing it or shit, bro? Like, what's going on?
It's bullshit, man. It's just another way
to charge. But the emissions test is the biggest scam ever.
Oh, the emissions test is super big. Let me tell you, I thought you were going to go somewhere else. You were about to go into some conspiracy lanes, because I thought you were going to get to talking about the water car.
The water car?
You know the whole conspiracy behind that. No. There was a guy who figured out about a water-powered engine.
Yeah, they got rid of him. What? Why?
Because it was the potential that you could just power your car with water from the sink.
Oh, water. Or you cut into the gas. I thought. Oh, yeah, I know about that. I thought you meant like a car that could just go and I could just drive underwater. That's what I thought.
No. I was
talking about. Why did you think about that?
No. That's a summary.
They like, what? No, they don't.
No. But now what's happening is.
No money in that.
There wasn't. But now people see the direction that the world is going. And so now they're trying to get ahead of it before. People are already buying electric cars on their own, so now they're the petrol industry and all that stuff are trying to pivot. Well, they're probably trying to stop the progress of electric cars because they don't want to go out of business. But you got to change with the times or you die out. So I'm sure that there will be an Exxon. Exxon's already have charging stations at some of their gas stations, especially in places that are more progressive and with more money around, like a San Francisco or something. There's, every gas station has Tesla charging stations and stuff. That's not as common here. There are more here than there were 5 years ago.
Right.
But they're still not at every gas station. You're not going to see a charging station.
Right.
But it's trending in that direction. So you got to get with the times or you get left behind, man. But yeah, man.
It's like that scam with emissions test.
Yes. Yeah. You're really mad about it. Did you just get one recently?
Man, what happened was
it seems like it's fresh a fresh wound.
What happened was my sticker was expired for like a year.
Okay, let's be easy. Right? Be easy.
Fuck them. And I went to go and I didn't have a emissions test. I had my car for maybe like 6 years now. Uh-huh. And I haven't had one since I got it.
And you're riding around like that, huh?
Had to pay hella money. I had to. What made me mad
now,
is what
I
had
I
to.
See. Okay,
I had to
this
go.
All making sense now.
I had to go in. I had to go in the emissions test. Pay. Then I haven't got one in so long. They said I had to do it again.
Oh yeah, just keep going around and doing them.
I was like, this is some bullshit.
You can figure it out from the first time I do it. No, you got to do it again. We had you do another emissions.
And then the second time I went, I had to pay, but they was like, the guy was like, "Hey, James, can you come over here and do something?" And like did something, and I had to pay. I was like, I could do that the first goddamn time. That's bullshit, man. Had to go in the line twice. They let me go the second. They let me not pay the second time, but I had to pay the first time. Fuck out of here. And then I got to go again next year. Bullshit, man. It's all bullshit. And then you can't get your stickers until you do the emissions.
Yeah.
Until you pay toll. Like, fuck this.
You owe tolls?
Yes. I go right through.
I didn't know you were riding dirty like this.
Yeah, man. Stickers be like
running the tolls, like mail it to me.
Yeah. Stickers be like you go through, go burn. Fuck that.
Oh well, catch me if you can. Yeah. Step on the gas. Right. That's crazy. They will catch you. They have your address.
Right. Pictures and all.
This you? Send you that this year, right? That'll be $6 instead of $4. Oh, no, I agree with you there, but you got to pay it. they're gonna
it's
come.
All bullshit.
Oh, man, before we go, let me tell you about the time, because I used to ride around dirty like that, too.
Yeah.
Before I got my, you know, before I got my big boy car that I got now, I used to drive a Chevy Cobalt, and I didn't give a fuck about that car.
Yeah, man.
I didn't give a fuck about that car. My grandmother came into town, the grandmother that people met through this podcast, Grandma Kelly, who is the bougiest.
She saw that car?
Oh,
she let her get in that car.
She rode in that car to her brother's funeral.
I got in that car.
She was disgusted.
Feet, trash. You step on trash. Yeah, it's like, man, these are water. What are you going to do with all these water bottles, man?
What it was, I go to work. I'm like, I'm thirsty.
And just throw it.
Yep. Just throw it over in the passenger pit. It's a passenger pit. Just throw it in the passenger pit. Yep. Ooh, food. Ball the paper up. Yep. Throw it in the passenger pit. I'll get it eventually. Because I didn't let anybody in my car.
I was like,
this is my work car. That was my excuse. That doesn't mean it should be full of trash. But I thought I cleaned it up enough for my grandmother to get into it. But it was just a mess. And she was covering herself with her jacket. She's like, oh, this is disgusting. I think I'm going to throw up. And she shamed me. I was very ashamed. I went and got my car detailed somewhat after that. By detailed, I mean I went to put the quarters in the thing. I vacuumed it. It was just a piece of shit car.
Yeah.
But.
It's your first car.
It was my first car.
Yeah.
And I used to run through the tolls all the time.
Yeah.
And I got my first bonus from my job. They gave me, I don't want to say how much. I got a lot of money.
Mm.
And then within a week of that check from my job coming, I got a letter from the Easy Pass people. I owed them $1,600.
I owed them $1,600
because I went through the tolls mad times.
Yeah.
They added like 50.
Yeah.
And then I didn't know I owed them 50.
That's the fee.
Then they feed me. But then I did that like 6 times. So it was like 50. It was like 50 times 6 times the penalty.
Damn.
And then it kept rolling.
Yeah.
They keep penalizing you until you pay.
You pay it, yeah.
So I owed them like $1,600, man. It hurt my soul to pay them that much. Because, you know, I don't like paying for stuff that you don't get physical.
Me either.
You know, you got to pay the rent. You got to pay your car payment. And I know that you drive in the car. But even still, every month I pay it, I'm like, this is just going into the air.
Yeah, it's
not- I want to spend my money on stuff that I can touch.
Right.
So giving them $1,600 for going through a box. With a little light screen that you
write. They're not even paying people, so they making.
Oh, they making hand over fist. They don't even have to pay salary now, and they still want to charge you $4.
Wow,
crazy. That's a bigger scam than the emissions test. Post COVID, terminal Easy Pass toll booths are the biggest scam in the country because there's not even toll booth workers anymore.
Nope,
it's just automated money just raking in. It's crazy. Yeah, we got to figure out what's going on with Big Toll. This is Big Toll.
Yeah.
This is Big Toll, the conglomerate of Big Toll. Easy Pass. Who knows who's really behind that? This goes all the way to the top, Fran.
Yeah.
We're going to figure it out.
You paying money to be telling your kids, like, oh, we're underwater. I think that's bullshit.
Oh, is that what you do?
Yep.
Are you still selling them that dream? Bullshit. Do you guys all hold your breath when you go?
Yeah, no, I don't do that. But you play along.
Me,
yeah,
no, me.
No, when you go in the Jeep,
I don't do that.
We have the GPS. It shows that you're underwater.
Yeah,
it's bullshit.
It's all bullshit. I mean, you are. The bridge is damming it. There's water behind. No, that was gonna sound stupid, and it's not. I was gonna say there's water behind those doors, but it's not.
Those little
doors that you ride by. No. But there's water being like dammed.
I think that's bullshit, man. It's like, why is it not leaking in at some point? Why is that because they're always working it?
They're always working the repair. That's why you have to pay your $4. They're constantly people in there just kind of patching holes up and stuff. That's
so
why
you can't go over it.
No.
It's nothing.
You know, I don't know. I don't know what's up there, but like you can't drive up there.
I know, but I mean, I would love to go. What's on top?
Oh, that's only for you. Got to have G14 classification. You got to get in through the doors and stuff. You can't just go in there willy nilly.
Trying to say that shit is underwear. That shit's not underwear.
That's where the secrets are kept.
Bullshit, man.
But yeah, no. Recommendations corner. Yellow Jackets. Still watching Yellow Jackets. Still great. They still haven't eaten anybody yet, but it's coming. I know they're gonna eat one of their friends. That's what I've been sticking it out for. Is for one of
them. So is that good?
Oh, it's great.
Oh,
it's great. But I want to see, because I think it's like Lord of the Flies or like that movie Alive, but it has supernatural elements.
Mm.
But what made Lord of the Flies crazy and Alive good, so Alive is about a soccer team, their plane crashes in like the Arctic,
mm-hmm.
and they have to try to survive. and eventually people start dying and they're starving. So they eat one of the, they start eating each other. Like when somebody dies, they eat each other. And Lord of the Flies was chaos because it was like kids and they were stuck on this island for so long that they started having hierarchies and leaders and getting violent with each other. It was like Darwinism. Like there were no rules left of society eventually after you've been there so long. So it has elements of that.
What is this show called?
Yellow Jackets.
Yellow Jackets.
But I think they're going to eat one of their friends soon. It's, I feel like it's going to happen on the last episode of the season.
It's on Netflix?
It's on Showtime, but it's on Hulu because it's, it's connected. So you can watch Yellow Jackets. It on Hulu. Yellow Jackets. It's great. There's a show coming out. I don't know the name of the show, but I've seen the title. And I've seen the trailer.
You don't remember it?
I don't remember. I've seen the title. It's a show. It's like a real show. I'm not making this up. It's a girl. It's about a girl. It's a TLC show. You know I love those shows. She's 22 years old, but she looks 8. And it's about her navigating, trying to be a young, go out, drink and stuff.
So what she have?
She had cancer.
Oh.
And the chemotherapy seized up her pituitary gland. So she stopped growing at 8. But the show, I'm sure they're going to touch on that. It's going to be like serious. But the trailer is like, I'm a 22-year-old girl and it's stuck in an 8-year-old's body. And then it's her like drinking wine and she's like, let's fucking go out and party tonight. But she looks like an 8-year-old. It's crazy. I'm so excited for the
show. When does it come out?
January 11th. Yeah. I have a calendar for it. I'm so excited. it looks like chaos. I love those TLC shows, man. I love them. I don't know where they find these people, but they find some incredible people with some incredible stories. And this girl just wants to be a 22-year-old. In the trailer, she's like, I want to get a tattoo. And the guy's like, do you have an ID on you? Because she doesn't come above the counter.
Yeah.
Oh, it's great. I can't wait. I'm so excited. Can't remember the name of it, though. But yeah, I'll let you know. Maybe we'll have a watch party. Come over, make popcorn and stuff.
Yeah.
Watch it. Be interesting. Be fun. I like it. I think it's going to be fun. Anyway. Yeah.
Find some crazy shit on it. I mean, I was watching, I'm addicted to like.
My Strange Addictions?
Yeah, I'm addicted to like detergent or some shit.
Oh, man.
I was like, I'm not watching this.
There was one lady, she was addicted to eating her mattress.
The yellow foam?
Yeah. She ate her memory foam pad. Had a big dent in it. She's like, every morning I just go grab a little piece of it, eat it with a glass of milk. I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? The whole memory foam mattress is gone. You ate a mattress topper? What the fuck are you talking about?
Chunks sinking in.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Hurting your fucking back and shit.
Then you lay on it. It's got your skin flakes and shit on it and bed bugs. And you eat it. Oh, time for
a minute. Was she like a bag or something? Did she have like a bag of it?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Wrap it up.
For lunch.
Yeah, yeah, you know, to go. Another lady's eating rocks.
Like chips.
Oh, man. There's some crazy people in there. It was another lady. Before we go, last one. I know people know this is one of the most famous ones. There was a lady who was addicted to eating her husband's ashes. She was dipping her finger in a little bucket of ashes and getting like it was fun dip.
I was about to say
she was fun dipping. She would fun dip her finger into the ash.
Finger first.
Yeah, you gotta lick the finger, get it wet.
Yeah,
you gotta get it wet so it's sticky. She licked the finger, pop it in the ashes. It come out perfectly around the little line of your finger.
Yeah.
Where that line is on the other side of your finger.
Wow.
It would stop right there, cover all that, and she suck all the ash off of it. And she'd be like, it just brings me closer to him. I'm like, you should watch your home movies.
That's crazy. I'm sorry, but it was another, I don't know what show this was. I don't know if it was a TLC show, but it was one where it was like these people have these fears.
Uh-huh.
And it was, what show was that? And then one of the fears was the lady, her dad passed away in like a car accident.
Uh-huh.
And she like had his clothes that he passed away, so it had like,
oh,
it was like ripped and had like blessings on it.
Oh, but no, she's wearing them.
No, I mean, like, she'll have them and she'll like, you know, maybe she'll put it on or like rub it against her face, but it gave her like, it was like trauma where it was like now she's scared to drive on the highway. I can't remember what show that was on.
That sounds interesting too. I would definitely watch
like
a bunch of those
because her dad passed away and like cars and it was like she don't drive on the highway.
I'm sure it's a TLC show.
Probably,
I'm sure it is.
Foam and that shit is. Foam.
I'm thinking about
detergent and shit.
Yeah, that's insane. I'm thinking about going down the 90 Day Fiance rabbit hole. I've just seen so many clips and heard so many crazy things that I
watched 90 Day Fiance before the 90 days. I watched. That's the one I've been watching recently. Is that one?
Is it just a bunch of African dudes marrying old white ladies and
it's an African guy
spending their money.
This white lady just like this hip, this redneck white. It's like. What? It's like they don't even.
Not even a pair.
It's just. And then one of the guys is like nerdy and just go and see some lady and then like like it's just that show is crazy, man. I haven't gotten to the part. I stopped watching it for a while, but I didn't get to the part where I was trying to watch it and lead up to the guy with the big neck. I haven't gotten.
Oh, you haven't met Ed? That's the he was the one that I was like, I need to. I don't know what's happening.
Yeah,
but I need to watch this.
Yeah,
and I never did.
Yeah,
I just know that he exists.
I think he's just on 90 Day Fiance, but I've been watching 90 Day Fiance before the 90 days.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. No. When I first saw him, I was like, what is this?
Yeah.
Him and the Filipino lady that he was dating. Or whatever. And he had mayonnaise in his hair and all these different things. And he didn't have a neck. And I was like, I need to know more. I don't know. Yeah, what is this? And I just never did it. But I know he's still hanging on to his 15 minutes of fame because he does cameos.
Does he?
I don't know who the hell would want a cameo from No Neck Ed or Big Ed or whatever they call him. Imagine getting that for Christmas. Somebody sends you that like, hey, I got you a surprise. It's like, hey, Fran, it's me, Ed. I want to say Merry Christmas. I'm hearing you do a podcast or whatever. That's super cool. And, you know, it's me, Big Ed. Just want to say I know that you exist. And
that's,
you
know, terrible.
Keep doing your thing.
That's terrible.
I'd be like, can you return this?
It's terrible.
How do you return a video?
That sounds like a gift from Miss Dionka. That's a Dionka gift.
Hey, man, listen, don't disrespect my mom. Don't disrespect my mother like that, okay?
I love her. Man, I love her. That's my second mom, but that's a Dionka gift right there.
Me being like, man, have you heard? I already know how she'd give it to me too. We'd be having a conversation where I'm like, have you heard of this guy, No Neck Ed? Man, that guy is awful.
Yeah,
I hate that guy. And then she'd be like, well, I know you did the reverse psychology. I know you're a big fan of Ed, so I actually paid him $425 to give you a personalized message. So Merry Christmas. I'd be like, what am I supposed to do with this? What do I do with this? You want me to watch it again? Can I save this on my phone? Yeah, anyway, guys, hey, listen, wish me luck. Hopefully I'm in Jamaica right now sipping on daiquiris, or I'm home and very mad. Either way, this has been another episode of Affirmative Murder. I've been Alvin Williams, joined as always by my partner in true crime, Francel Evans, and we'll see you guys next week.
Deuces.